And Mapu Bali here with you until 1 a.m. This story, this release from the Innocence Project, innocenceproject.org. Illinois became the first state ever to pass legislation prohibiting law enforcement officers from using deception while interrogating people under the age of 18. The bill bans commonly used deceptive interrogation tactics, including making false promises of leniency and false claims about the existence of incriminating evidence. Joining us on the phone to talk about this is the legal director of the Chicago office of the Illinois Innocence Project, Lauren Caseberg. Hey, Lauren, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for jumping on the phone with us. We appreciate it. I think for a lot of us, we don't know much about this, but if we saw, I reached out to your friend Laura Nyreiter today. She was one of the people you may remember from the Making a Murderer documentaries that were on Netflix that covered what happened up in Wisconsin. And especially the key part was Brendan Dassey, the nephew who may or may not have been involved in something. But when you watch the video of the interrogation where he thinks he gets to walk out at the end and they badger him and tell him, I mean, it was just so appalling to anybody who watched that. And you wonder, you know, because other sites, oh, they edited it, they did this in the documentary. But when you see the appalling things that were done, and to think there needs to be laws to say, well, we can't do this, we can't just completely lie to people to get them to confess to things, it's amazing. Are you surprised? I guess you wouldn't, because you see this all the time, but I imagine you can understand where the general public is just like, wait, we have to pass a law to say we just don't lie to I would imagine to anybody, Lauren, not just to teenagers, but so it's like, you know, only teenagers, stop lying to the teenagers, the adults, do whatever you can to get them. But it just seems like crazy that we're having this discussion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think most people in the general public don't even realize that the police are permitted to lie to you if you're ever interrogated by them. As you said, this legislation that passed through the Illinois legislature now essentially bans the use of lying in the interrogation room with juvenile suspects. And you mentioned Brendan Dassey, and, you know, we fervently believe that he is innocent of that murder that was featured in that documentary that you mentioned that Laura, you know, represents him.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's such a great opportunity for people who may not be involved in the criminal justice system to really get a bird's eye view of an interrogation like that. So, you know, that's sort of where this legislation started was, you know, Illinois was the first state in the country to ever pass a law that required the recording of interrogations, period. And so, you know, now that you can kind of get a glimpse inside the interrogation room and you can see what types of questioning are leading to false confessions, you know, we're able to look at all of that and come away from that saying, you know, lying to people most certainly results in false confessions, especially when you're talking about juveniles.
I would imagine that, you know, whenever you see something where people are refuse to answer questions and then they look guilty. But when you hear that this is allowed to happen, you would think, well, if you're ever being questioned by police, you should have your lawyer present. You should never just answer things. If they're allowed to lie to you, why would you ever answer anything? Because you know, it just seems like such a underhanded thing. And now I can understand why somebody say, well, I'm not talking to anybody until my lawyer's present to hear what's going on here.
Yeah, you know, there's a few times in the work that we do at the Illinois Innocence Project where we'll see a video where our client will invoke their right to an attorney and we sort of cheer. You know, it's so nice that when you see someone not talk and when they actually, you know, demand that an attorney be brought in. One of the most nefarious things about the lies that the police are able to tell a suspect really started at the very beginning where, you know, you might not want to talk to us, but if you talk to us, the police in this room, we will advocate for you. We will be able to help you. We'll get you out of this situation. You know, so the lies start at the very beginning and are, you know, used as a manipulation even to get people to talk to them. When the police know full well, they're just trying to get a confession to a horrible crime and they're not there to advocate or help this person.
And, you know, it's awful, right? It's awful, of course. I'm guessing that the police don't do this in general just to get it done with and they want the wrong person. I'm guessing that in general, they think it's clearly here, but if we don't get this confession, we might never be able to solve this. What's your kind of take on what happens in that room and why that actually happens?
Yeah, you know, of course we see cases where, you know, someone is framed or there's intentional conduct to, you know, convict an innocent person. But the vast majority of wrongful conviction cases involve really well-intentioned police officers who may just be sort of down the rabbit hole with, like, really crazy tunnel vision where they just really think that this person has something to do with it. You know, there's this phenomenon called confirmation bias where, you know, you sort of the evidence and the clues and the pieces that come together really just serve to confirm the bias that you may have already formed in your mind. And so that's most often what we see in these cases. So, you know, this isn't by any means, you know, legislation or reform that is targeting, you know, good police officers by any means. What it's targeting really is the training that they're receiving. And, you know, the old quote, you know better, you do better. So we've learned and we know that these deceptive techniques, sort of outdated methods, you know, not only result in false confessions, but don't, you know, when you get false confessions, you're not following the trail of the real perpetrators. So the real offenders are getting away with these crimes and victims aren't being served justice.
We're speaking with Lauren Caseberg. She is the legal director of the Chicago office of the Illinois Innocence Project. Illinois passed a law saying that you cannot lie to teenagers, to youth, when you're interrogating them. More on this next, 720 WGN. And we're speaking with Lauren Caseberg. She's the legal director of the Chicago office of the Illinois Innocence Project. Legislation has been passed that in Illinois, at least, you cannot lie to youth during interrogations. Lauren, over the years, you know, there's so much to talk to you about. We could talk about death penalty and how that's gone lately in different states. But just in general, how often would you say, because I think a lot of times people assume the worst of people when people are arrested. And then they get, you know, if we didn't have video of what happened to Brendan Dassey, first of all, he would never have a chance of getting free in his life, I'm quite sure. Even with that video, it's been a struggle to get him free. But for all of these, how often does this happen, do you think, that innocent people are spending a lot of time, you know, and we never even hear about the more minor things that people might go away for a couple of years for. We only hear about the people that have spent 20, 30, 40 years or their lives in prison for something that they didn't do. I know it doesn't happen, you know, all the time, every day, but there has to be an amazing amount of people, if you really think about it, who have spent time away that they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, if you count just guilty pleas, which is, you know, 99% of our system, I would say it does happen every day where people are, you know, pleading to lesser crimes to avoid harsher sentences for things that they didn't do. And certainly, you know, we deal with the most serious offenses, like you said, because it takes years and years to represent someone in a post-conviction manner once they've been convicted. You know, there have been estimates from different groups around the country and around the world. I mean, I know some estimates are up to 10% of people in prison may be innocent. You know, there's thousands and thousands of people in prison in this country today, thousands of people in Illinois prisons, who are innocent, who are actually innocent, had nothing to do with the crime for which they're convicted. You know, and I think a lot of people really think, you know, I would never confess to some horrible crime I didn't commit. So when you hear that there's a confession to a murder or to a sexual assault, some horrible case, it's really hard for people to picture how that happens. But it's actually, if you really put yourself in the shoes of an innocent person in an interrogation room, having been there for hours, sleep deprived, terrified, totally cut off and isolated from anyone who knows them or cares about them, it somehow becomes a rational choice for people. And when they're innocent, because they think to themselves in many instances, I mean, first of all, they're, you know, mentally coerced, and there's, you know, a whole psychological coercion that's gone on, and people think start to think their mind's playing tricks on them because of these lies that are allowed to be told to them. But then I think a lot of our clients get to a place where they, you know, capitulate or concede and sign a confession because they think, okay, I got to get out of this room. No one here believes me. I'm telling them I'm innocent, and they just want me to tell them what they want to hear. And if I do that, I'll get to be with my family. I'll get to be with my lawyers. I didn't do this, so there's no way the evidence is going to support that I'm guilty. I just need to get out of this room and talk to some people who will believe me. The sad truth is that once you confess to something like that, you know, you're not going anywhere but to prison. I mean, it's just, it's a huge mountain to climb.
One thing that we saw in Making a Murderer was what a what not the best public defender will do for you. And you know, it really sounds like if you don't have money, you are facing a much tougher battle when you have to go to court. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, these cases are really difficult, and when you have a confession, even without a confession, when there's a huge case mounted against someone, you know, DNA testing at a private lab is extremely expensive. Getting experts to weigh in on the case is extremely expensive. So it's not even the cost simply of, you know, an attorney, because there are many public defenders who are great attorneys. It's, you know, the resources. So, yeah. You know, if you have all the money in the world, you can hire an amazing attorney and a legal team, but you can also bring in some of the world's best experts, which is sort of what we're fortunate to be able to do at the Illinois Innocence Project and other innocence organizations. You know, we're able to work with some of these top experts who can weigh in on our cases and also sort of try to impart those lessons to the system, like we've seen with this legislation.
Lauren, if I can jump around and ask you something slightly off topic, but I wonder, no cash bond is something that's going through in Illinois, and I wonder how you think that's going to affect things for people, whether that means that maybe there'll be more people held without bond that maybe normally could have raised a certain amount of money, but if it's either no cash bond or you don't get bond, will there be some people not getting bond that maybe could have otherwise? Or, you know, how will that affect things? Will that really help people? Because I can only imagine that if you can't afford the bond and you stay in prison for a certain amount of time waiting for your hearings and for your trial, that sets you behind so far. You're definitely not working. All these other prospects that are going to make it so much tougher to get back to your life.
Yeah, I think you're really spot on with, you know, where you started with that question. You know, no matter the most well-intentioned reforms, you know, you may end up with people on either end who don't benefit from it or seem to be, you know, at the wrong end of that stick. But I think generally speaking, you know, having people be able to fight their case and still be able to live and work and be with their families definitely should help with, you know, disincentivizing people to take guilty pleas for things that they didn't do. You know, there's a growing number of guilty plea exoneration cases in Illinois and nationwide. We actually had a DNA grant from the federal government to do testing on cases that solely involved guilty pleas, where, you know, it used to be in Illinois there was no legal or statutory way to even get back into court if you pled guilty and you had an innocence claim and you wanted DNA testing. You weren't legally entitled to DNA testing if you had pled guilty. That changed, you know, a handful of years ago. And we're seeing a huge increase in the number of cases of exonerations of people who pled guilty. So I definitely think that, you know, it's really important to, if someone is truly not a danger to the community and they can, you know, be out and build the case and fight their case and take the time it takes to not induce them to plead guilty, you know, I think it's a great thing.
All right, I have one last question for you. I'm going to jump off again. We have such a fascination right now in this country with true crime, whether it's podcasts or documentaries or anything. So I watched recently Central Park 5 on HBO. I've watched Your Honor, the Bryan Cranston show on Showtime. Is there something that you really love that you see that's in the realm? Or are you like a doctor who's like, I will never watch ER because it's just brutal and it's all wrong? What's your take on that?
So I don't watch a lot of the you know, shows and listen to a lot of the podcasts, because truly, you know, so much of my day is spent reading, you know, trial transcripts and looking at horrible photos of crime scenes and stuff like that. However, I did watch When They See Us. You mentioned, you know, the Central Park 5 exonerated 5 case.
Yeah.
That was such an incredible documentary, you know, docudrama series that, you know, really highlights even this issue that we're dealing with now in Illinois, where you see these kids falsely confessing. You know, I think that not only has the really, like, the popular culture fascination been so helpful for us at different innocence organizations, just to get supporters and, you know, get momentum to move these cases forward, but I'm really hopeful that, you know, as society takes an interest in these issues and understands now, right? Like, there's an understanding people do falsely confess of things they didn't do. Innocent people do get convicted. That we're going to only improve the quality of juries. So the people who are sitting in judgment of criminal defendants will sit there with a more, you know, holistic view and approach to the case to understand, like, it is possible that that person is actually innocent until proven guilty. It hasn't always been that way with juries. And so we're really, I think a lot of us on the side of, you know, the side that I'm on, are hopeful that all of this, you know, interest in popular culture will lead to, you know, better juries and judges and sort of a better system that holds the system itself and the state more accountable.
Lauren Caseberg is the legal director of the Chicago Office of the Illinois Innocence Project. You can find out more at innocenceproject.org. Lauren, thank you so much for taking the time tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.